Prologue. The Embrace of Pain. Outside the universe, there is nothing. This nothing is called hyperspace. A tiny bubble of existence hangs in the nothing. This bubble is called a ship. The bubble has neither motion nor stillness, nor even orientation, since the nothing has no distance or direction. It hangs there forever, or for less than an instant, because in the nothing there is also no time. Time, distance, and direction have meaning only inside the bubble, and the bubble maintains the existence of these things only by an absolute separation of what is within from what is without. The bubble is its own universe. Outside the universe, there is nothing. Jason Solo hangs in the white, exploring the spectrum of pain. In the far infrared, he finds cinders of thirst that bake his throat. Higher, up in the visible wavelengths, gleam the crimson wire-stretched ligaments that sizzle within his shoulders. Grinding glass-shard screams howl from his hip joints, like the death shrieks of golden Ithorian starflowers. There is green here, too. Bubbling tongues of acid hungrily lick his nerves, as well as lightning blue shocks that spasm his overloaded body into convulsion. And higher still, now far beyond the ultraviolet betrayal that brought him here, the betrayal that delivered him into the hands of the Yuuzhan Vong, the betrayal that gathered him into the embrace of pain, the betrayal by a Vergere, whom he had trusted. He finds silent, shattering gamma-ray bursts sleeting into his brain. Those gamma-ray bursts are the color of his brother's death. Anakin, he moans, somewhere deep within himself. Anakin, how can you be dead? He has faced deaths in his family before. More than once, he thought Jaina lost, or his father, or mother, or Uncle Luke. He has grieved, mourned them, but it was always a mistake. It was a misunderstanding, sometimes even a deliberate trick. In the end, they always came back to him, until Chewbacca. When the moon crashed on Cernpadal, it shattered not only Chewbacca's life, but also the magic charm that had always seemed to guard them all. Something in the universe has tilted to one side and opened a gap in reality. Through that gap, death has slipped into his family. Anakin. Jason saw him die, felt him die through the Force, saw his lifeless body in the hands of the Yuuzhan Vong. Anakin didn't even fade. He only died. In one impossible instant, Anakin ceased to be the brother Jason played with, teased, looked after, played tricks on, fought with, cared for, trained with, loved, and became, what? An object. Remains. Not a person. Not anymore. Now the only person who is Anakin is the image Jason carries in his heart. An image that Jason cannot even let himself see. Each flash of Anakin, his reckless grin so like their father's, his eyes smoldering with fierce will mirroring their mother's, his effortlessly athletic warrior's grace, so much like Uncle Luke's. These are the gamma bursts that burn the marrow of his bones, that cook his brain until its boil threatens to burst his skull. But when he looks away from Anakin, there is nothing to see but pain. He cannot remember if he is on a ship or still planet-bound. He finds a vague memory of capture aboard a Yuuzhan Vong world ship, but he's not sure if that happened to him or to someone else. He cannot remember if such distinctions mean anything. All he knows is the white. He remembers that he's been captured before. He remembers Belkaden, remembers his vain dream of freeing slaves, remembers the blank terror of discovering that his Force powers meant nothing against the Yuuzhan Vong. He remembers the embrace of pain, remembers his rescue by Uncle Luke. Master Luke. Master Skywalker. He remembers Vergere. Remembering Vergere brings him to the Voxen Queen, and the Voxen Queen sends him slithering back down a despair-greased slope to Anakin's corpse. Anakin's corpse floats on a burning lake of torment, far deeper than anything that can happen to Jason's body. Jason knows, intellectually, distantly, abstractly, that once he lived outside the white. He knows that he once felt happiness, pleasure, regret, anger, even love. But these are only ghosts, shadows murmuring beneath the roar of pain that fills everything he is, everything he will ever be. The simple fact that the white had a beginning does not imply that it will have an end. Jason exists beyond time. Where Jason is, there is only the white and the Force. The Force is the air that he breathes, a cool whisk of sanity, a gentle breeze from a healthier world, though he can no more grasp its power than he might hold on to the wind. It surrounds him, fills him, accepts his suffering, and sustains his sanity. It whispers a reminder that despair is of the dark side, and that ceaseless murmur gives him the strength to go on living. Distantly on that cool breeze he feels a knot of anger, of black rage and hurt and despair clenching ever harder, compressing itself to diamond and beyond, crushing itself back into carbon powder. He feels through the bond they have shared from birth, his twin sister falling into the dark. "Jaina," he begs in a quiet corner of his heart. "Don't do it. Jaina, hold on." But he cannot let himself touch her through the Force. He cannot ask her to share his torment. She is in so much pain already that to suffer his would only drive her darker yet. And so even his twin bond has become a source of anguish. Jason has become a prism, reintegrating the glittering spectrum of pain into pure blazing agony. Agony is white, snowblind in an eternal hoth, ice noon of suffering. Jason Solo hangs in the embrace of pain. The touch of a hand along his jaw leaked time into the white. This was not a human hand, not Wookiee, not family or close friend. Four fingers, mutually opposable, hard-fleshed as a raptor's talons. But the touch was warm and moist, and somehow not unfriendly. Pain retreated toward the back of his mind until he could think again, though he felt it lurking there, waiting. He knew that it would overtake him again, would break in waves across him. But for now, the tides of agony rolled slowly out, and Jason could open his eyes. The hand that had brought him out of the white belonged to Vergere. She stood below him, looking up with wide alien eyes, her fingers light upon his cheek. Jason hung horizontally, suspended face down 2 meters above a floor of wet, slick-looking greens and browns, its surface corded, viny, as though with muscle and vein. The walls oozed oily dampness that smelled darkly organic, bantha sweat and hawkbat droppings. From the darkness above swung tentacles like prehensile eye stalks, and socketed with glowing orbs that stared at him as the tentacles wove and danced and twisted about each other. He understood. The enemy was watching. Something that felt like claws, sharp and unyielding, gripped his skull from behind. He could not turn his head to see what held him. His arms were drawn wide, pulled to full extension and twisted so that his shoulders howled in their sockets. A single strong grip crushed his ankles together, grinding bone on bone. Yet the greatest pain he now suffered was to look on Vergere and remember that he had trusted her. She withdrew her hand, clenching and opening it while she stared at it with what, on a human, might have been a smile, as though her hand were an unfamiliar tool that might turn out to be a toy instead. "Among our masters," she said casually, as though continuing a friendly conversation, "it is not considered shameful for a warrior in your position to pray for death. This is occasionally granted to honor great courage. There are some on this very ship who whisper that your action against the Voxen Queen has earned this honor for you. On the other hand, our War Master claims you for his own, to be a sacrifice to the true gods. This, too, is a very great honor. Do you understand this? Jason understood nothing except how much he hurt and how terribly he had been betrayed. Speaking tore his throat as though he coughed splinters of transparasteel. He winced, squeezing shut his eyes until galaxies flared within them, then gritted his teeth and spoke anyway. I trusted you. Yes, you did. She opened her hand, turning her quadrifid palm upward, as if to catch a falling tear, and smiled up at him. Why? Jason could not find his breath to give answer, and then he found he had no answer to give. She was so alien. Raised on Coruscant, the nexus of the galaxy, he had no memory of a time when there had not been dozens, hundreds, even thousands, of wildly differing species in sight whenever he so much as peeked out the holographic false window of his bedroom. All space lanes led to Coruscant. Every sentient species of the New Republic had had representatives there. Bigotry was utterly beyond him. Jason could no more dislike or distrust someone simply because she belonged to an unfamiliar species than he could breathe methane. But Roger, body compact and lithe, arms long and oddly mobile as though possessed of extra joints, hands from which fingers opened like the gripping spines of Andoan rock polyps, back-bent knees above splay-toed feet. He was acutely, overpoweringly aware that he had never seen any of Roger's kind before. Long, bright eyes, the shape of teardrops, a spray of whiskers curving around a wide, expressive mouth. But expressive of what? How could he know what the arc of her lips truly signified? It resembled a human smile, but she was nothing resembling human. Perhaps her species used the crest of iridescent feathers along her cranial ridge for nonverbal signals. Right now, as he stared, feathers near the rounded rear of her oblate skull lifted and turned so that their color shifted from starlight silver to red as a blaster bolt. Was that what corresponded to a smile, or a human's deadpan shrug, or a predator's threat display? How could he possibly know? How could he have ever trusted her? "But you," he rasped. "You saved Mara, did I?" she chirped sunnily. "And if I did, what significance do you attach to this? I thought you were on our side." One whiskered eyebrow arched. "There is no our side, Jason Solo. You helped me kill the Voxen Queen. Helped you? Perhaps. Perhaps I used you. Perhaps I had my own reasons to desire the death of the Voxen Queen, and you were a convenient weapon. Or perhaps you are my true interest. Perhaps I gave of my tears to Mara. Perhaps I helped you survive the encounter with the Voxen Queen. Perhaps everything I have done was intended to bring you here and hang you in the embrace of pain." "Which," Jason made himself say, "was it?" "Which do you think it was?" I don't know. How can I know? Why ask me? Should I presume to instruct a Jedi in the mysteries of epistemology?" Jason stiffened in the grip of the embrace of pain. He was not so broken that he did not know he was being mocked. "What do you want from me? Why have you done this? Why are you here?" "Deep questions, little Solo." Her ridge feathers rippled through a shimmering rainbow, like a diamond-edged sabacc deck, riffled by an expert dealer. "It is near enough to the truth to say that I am a messenger of melancholy, a herald of tragedy, bearing gifts to ease the grieved, a mourner with grave goods to decorate the tomb, a hierophant to perform the sacred offices for the dead." Jason's head swam. "What are you talking about? I can't. His voice failed, and he sagged exhaustedly. Of course you can't. It's enough that the dead suffer their demise. Would it be fair to ask them to understand it as well? You're saying... Jason licked his lips, his tongue so dry it scraped them raw. I can face this, he told himself. I may not be much of a warrior, but I can die like one. You're saying you're going to kill me? Oh, no, not at all. From Vergere's mouth came a musical chiming like a spray of Andorian wind crystals. He guessed this must serve her for laughter. I'm saying you're already dead. Jason stared. You are forever lost to the worlds you knew, she went on with a liquidly alien gesture that might have been a shrug. Your friends mourn, your father rages, your mother weeps. Your life has been terminated. A line of division has been drawn between you and everything you have ever known. You have seen the Terminator that sweeps across the face of a planet, the twilight division between day and night. You have crossed that line, Jason Solo. The bright fields of day are forever past. But not everything he knew was gone, not while he lived. He was a Jedi. He reached out with his feelings. Oh, the Force, Vergere chirped dismissively. The Force is life. What has life to do with you? Suffering and exhaustion had bled away Jason's capacity for astonishment. He did not care how Vergere knew what he was doing. He opened himself to the Force, let its clean cascade wash through him, dissolving his pain and confusion, and found at his side a connection to the Force as profound as his own. Vergere crackled with power. Jason murmured, "You're a Jedi." Vergere laughed. "There are no Jedi here," she said, and made a gesture. "I flick swift." Inside Jason's head, a swirl of interstellar gases fell in upon itself, kindling a protostar behind his eyes. The protostar swelled, gathering power, ramping up intensity until the light inside his skull washed away the woody glow of the chamber in which he hung. In the whited-out blaze, he heard Vergere's voice, cold and precise as the light of a distant quasar. "I am your guide through the lands of the dead." Beyond that he heard and saw no more. A silent supernova erupted within Jason's brain and blasted away the universe. Seconds or centuries passed in oblivion. Consciousness swam back into him, and he opened his eyes to find himself still hanging in the embrace of pain, Vergere still standing below him, on her face the same alien facsimile of cheerful mockery. Nothing had changed. Everything had changed. The universe was empty now. "What?" Jason croaked, his throat raw as though he'd spent days screaming in his sleep. "What have you done to me?" "You have no business with the Force, nor it with you. Let you have the Force? The idea. It must be some kind of human thing. You mammals are so impulsive, so reckless. Infants teething on a blaster." "No, no, no, little Solo. The Force is much too dangerous for children. A great deal more dangerous than those ridiculous lightsabers you all seem to like to wave about. So I took it away from you." The emptiness of the universe howled inside his head. There was nothing out there. Only vast interstellar vacuum. All his training, all his talent, his gift, meant nothing to the limitlessly indifferent cosmos. The Force was only the ghost of a dream from which he had now awakened. Jaina! He thrust desperately into the bond that had always been there, seeking his sister, his twin. He poured his terror and loss into the void that yawned where that bond had always been. Only silence, only emptiness, only lack. "Oh, Jaina, Jaina, I'm sorry." With the Force bond between them shattered, even Jaina would think he was dead. would know he was dead. There's no way. You can't possibly. He barely recognized this tiny, lost-in-the-dark whisper as his own voice. But I have. Really, this force business, you're better off without it. If you're a good boy, I'll give it back when you grow up. But how could his universe be so fragile? How could everything he was be so easily broken? But I'm a Jedi. You were a Jedi, she corrected him. Haven't you been paying attention? What part about being dead do you not understand? I don't. Jason's eyes drifted closed. Tears gathered in his eyelashes, and when he opened his eyes, the tears dripped straight from his eyeballs to splash on the floor beside Roger's feet. One of the room's prehensile eye stalks twisted itself lower to examine them. I don't understand anything. Nothing makes sense to me anymore. Roger straightened her back-bent legs and rose onto her toes, bringing her wide, whiskered mouth within a decimeter of Jason's ear. Jason Solo, listen well. Her voice was warm and kind, and her breath smelled of spices grown in alien soil. Everything I tell you is a lie. Every question I ask is a trick. You will find no truth in me. She came close enough that her whiskers tickled his ear, and whispered, Though you believe nothing else, you may rest your faith on this. Jason stared into eyes as blackly encompassing as interstellar space. He whispered, What are you? I am Verger, she said simply. What are you? She waited, motionlessly patient, as though to confirm that he had no answer. Then she turned away. A hatch sphincter dilated in the wall, a wet sound like lips opening for a kiss, and Verger left without a backward glance. The walls and ceiling creaked like an old man's joints as the grip of the embrace of pain tightened again. Jason Solo was once more swallowed by agony. Now there is no more force for Jason. No more cool breath of life and sanity. No more Jaina. No more life. Where Jason is, there is only the white.